It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to welcome you, brother. It's Brother Rodriguez. He's from Murfreesboro, originally from Venezuela. He's a friend of my father-in-law, and he's come to be with us today to visit. Amen. I wanted to continue to ask for your prayers for my aunt in West Virginia. She's in the ICU now. She had a seizure. And unless God intervenes, she's not long for this world. And it just doesn't look good. And so just covet your prayers for her and for the family. And I had a text from my cousin this morning, and it seems like maybe she's finally coming to terms with what's going on, and that if it's the Lord's will to take her mother, then she is willing to accept that now. And, but it's a hard thing, you know. She'd already lost her father about 7 years ago to cancer. You remember us praying for him several times, and now her mother and my aunt would turn 82 in February. This February, in a couple of months, she would turn 82. So, but she's been a good Christian her whole life. She's served God in all that she's known, and she's been faithful in it. So, just remember her and the family in prayer. And my mother is really heartbroken over it. So remember my mom in prayer. It's the sister, her and this particular sister of hers, they were the closest growing up. And so they were very close to one another and shared a room growing up and different things. And so out of a family of six. And so just remember my mother in prayer, if you would. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here this morning. Lord, we long, God, for your presence like you come. And today, Lord, as the worshiping you, Lord, and Lord, you come and accept that worship and just bathe us in your presence. How wonderful that is, dear God. We ask, God, that you would undertake for my aunt, Lord, you know, Lord, your will in this matter. I pray for the family, dear God, for my mother, that you would help them and comfort them, dear God. I ask, dear God, for Sister Cynthia in the Philippines, Lord, that you would comfort her during this time and her family and the loss of their husband. And Lord, we ask for your guidance in this service, dear God, to be able to bring a message that would be a help to the people, Lord. We give you glory and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I promised you a Christmas message, the Lord willing. And so that's what we had something that was inspired to me earlier on in the year. And so when that happens, I put some notes down somewhere to come back to and see what the Lord will do with it. And so what we want to speak on this morning is the real Christmas gift, the real Christmas gift. And I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 2. And a very familiar passage of scripture is read quite often during this time of the year. And though we know that the prophet said that that Jesus was a lamb, he was born in the spring, but this is a time of the year when they set aside for Christmas, and so we should have taught what Christmas is really about. And so let's just read now from verse 1 of chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea In the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem, Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and the mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah shall there be a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which have spoken of the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. You may be seated. You have to pardon me today. I've had a little bit of sinus problems. And I don't know if it's the weather changing or what it is, but the scripture we read actually doesn't cover very much actually concerning the actual birth of Jesus. And we know that Jesus was born in a stable, and that because there was no room at the inn, and they wrapped him in swaddling cloth when he was born, which is not a very soft blanket at all. It's the cloth that was used on the back of the oxen, and he was laid in a manger. And you know, the first thing that touched him, his head, when he was laid there, was straw. Later on, they put a crown of thorns on his head and a dirty rag over his eyes, Brother Branham said, and smote him and said, Prophesy and tell us who hit you. But Christ was born, and he was God's gift to the earth, and it was to bring for the atonement of man. And you know that John, in the book of Revelations, beheld he that sat on the throne that had the book. And he said, who is worthy to come and take the book and open it? And they looked all through heaven and earth and could find no man worthy. And John wept, because if no one was found worthy to take the book, then man could not be redeemed. All man would be lost. But it said, weep not, John, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And he looked, and when he looked, he saw a lamb as if it had been slain, and it was worthy. So God sent his son to earth in order to bring redemption to man. Fallen man, we were all condemned by the representation of in the garden, and we were under condemnation by representation, Brother Branham said, that man had fell in a garden, it throwed all of creation out of cater, and we were looking for a Messiah to come. But you know, when this time of the year comes, Brother Branham says, you know, the little kids, they look forward to the gifts. And he said when they get around other, if you don't get them gifts, then they get around other children. And the other children say, well, I got this for Christmas, and I got this, and I got that. And he says, and the little fellas stand around, you know, and you can't make them understand. So Brother Branham was not against getting gifts for the children. And he said, the children look forward to the gifts. But then he also said, it was in a service, it was in 1958, and they gave Brother Branham a Christmas present right before, as he was coming to the platform, and it was wrapped. And Brother Branham said, this is my first Christmas present. I'm so grateful. And he says, and well, if I could just preach now without trying to open it. He said, I'm just like a child with that Christmas anticipation of waiting for something, you know. You just feel there's a little surprise and you just got to get into it. So this is Brother Branham feeling this as they give him this gift right before he come to the platform to preach. And he said, you know, when we get old, I don't think we lose our childhood. Do you think so? He said, no, we're grown-up children. That's about it. So we still enjoy that. And then in 1959, Brother Branham was coming to the platform, and they'd give him some gifts, and Brother Branham was thanking them for the gifts. And he said, you know, I wish I could buy all of you a gift. But he says, ministers, we can't do that. There's just too many. And he said, but in my heart, I would if I could just give every one of you a gift. And so he says, you just can't. So it's showing Brother Branham wasn't against Christmas. But what he was against was against teaching children about Santa Claus and about these reindeer on the rooftop and all these things that were brought in that actually took Christ out of Christmas. But the real Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And Brother Branham said he was on his way to breakfast one morning and he saw a sign that said, put Christ back in Christmas. And he says, I agree with that. And he says, and I thought, yes, we not only put Christ back in Christmas, but put him back in every day. Put him back in our homes. Put him back in the church where he should be. He said, because he said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So we need him, put him back on the earth again, put him back into action. Amen. Now, the things that transpired at the birth of Christ, his birth could not have come at any other time. It had to be at the time when Herod was king. It had to be at the time when this cruel evil man was a king of Judah. And it had to be at this precise time when there was a taxation that was proclaimed by the king that everyone had to return to their home in order where they were their birth was recorded in order to be taxed. And so it had to be at that time that those things transpired and happened so that it would move Mary and Joseph from where they were, that they would travel and go to Bethlehem where they were from, because Christ had to be born in Bethlehem. So all these chain of events that happened, they had to happen in that way in order to bring about the fulfillment of the scripture and to place Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. And so you see, God didn't just leave things up to chance. You know, God allowed these things to transpire. And God allows things to transpire in our lives many times to move us to where he wants us to be, to put us in place to where he can actually bless us, to put us in a place to where the word can be fulfilled in our lives. You don't know what all God has for your life to be fulfilled in your life, but he does. And he knows exactly how you have to be and where you have to be in order for his word to be fulfilled in your life. They had to journey to their homeland. And you know, everyone was journeying back to their homelands toward this taxation. So there were people traveling all over this region. And so the prophet said that meant there were many thieves along the way, because they knew these people were traveling and they had money in order to go pay their taxes. And so there was many thieves and robbers along the way that would sweep in and kill them and take their goods. And Mary and Joseph had to travel through this region with those dangers. And you think God would just remove all the dangers, but he doesn't. But instead, what he did was he had his hand on Mary and Joseph to keep them safe through those dangers. And Brother Branham talked about it and said, you know, there were even wild animals and wild beasts along the way, lions and so forth. And he said, what could Joseph do with that stick he had? And Mary there on the donkey. But God had his hand on them. And he goes to show you that as they had to face these fears and they had to face these things, the scripture had to be fulfilled. And they had to, there was no excuse for them not to travel. There was no excuse for them not to go back to their homeland, because it was under commandment of the king. And he goes to show us and gives us consolation to know we don't hold our own destiny. God holds our destiny. It's in his hands. He's not dependent on, we're not dependent on ourselves in order to put things in order. You know, many times when something's going wrong in our life, we want to take in our hands and we want to straighten it out and we want to change this and we want to change that. Look, there's nothing that happens to you by chance. It might come as a surprise to you, something that transpires, but it's no surprise to God. God allowed, there's nothing that happens in your life what God has to allow it. There's nothing can interrupt the program of God. You're going to make it. You're going to make it through this age. You're going to make it through this time. You're going to make it in the rapture, because it's God's program. And nothing can interrupt it. Many times Satan comes to you and he points out your faults and he points out all your failures. And how many times he tell you, you know what? You're not going to make this rapture.
Well, you know what? It ain't in Satan's hands. And it ain't in your hands. It's in God's hands. Because he said, I'll present to myself a glorious church. Not that we've got to present ourselves. He's going to present us. It's his word being fulfilled in us. He's the one that said it. He's the one that's got to back up his word. We're not dependent on our own goods, our good deeds to get us there. Good deeds won't get you there. We've been teaching on about love. And Paul brings out about these good deeds and says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not love, I have nothing. So it's not on your good deeds. It's not on your holiness, because there's not one of us that are holy. But he's holy. He's our sacrifice. It's like Brother Branham said about that little cross-eyed, crooked-kneed little donkey. Said his mother was there with him and said, he said, you know, when the farmer comes and sees me, he's going to kill me because look at me. And she said, no, he's not going to be looking at you. He's going to be looking at that lamb. And that lamb is there to take your place. So we had a lamb that was born in Bethlehem that come to take our place, that we might be saved and that atonement for our sins might be made. God's not looking at us. He's looking at our sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What we need today, the promise said, is not the fiction of Santa Claus. But what we need is the real Christmas gift. God wrapped his gift in swaddling cloth. Amen. We, Brother Branham says, and sirs, we would see Jesus preached in on Christmas Eve of 1961, he said, but the birthday of Christ, I believe, should be a day of consecration, worship, instead of tonight of people at church on their knees praying and thanking God for the real Christmas gift. They're wearing high-heeled shoes and painted faces and frock-tailed coats and goblets of whiskey will be tipped one to another, and tens of thousands times thousands of dollars worth of whiskey and cigars and cigarettes will be distributed tonight, when thousands of poor little hungry children lay without a bite to eat or a place to lay their head. But instead of having some celebration, he said we ought to be worshiping. We ought to be thinking about the birth of Christ. Brother Branham, in the same message, speaks about that he heard a preacher on the radio, and the preacher said, you know, if we take Santa Claus out of Christmas, we take the magic out of Christmas. We don't have no more Christmas spirit if we take Santa out of it. Brother Man said, could you imagine a minister saying that on the radio? And he said, but you need to take Santa Claus out of your life and open up your heart and let Christ come in and die to these things of the world in order for the real Christmas. The real Christmas. What is the true meaning of Christmas? It's Christ being born. Amen. Now, our little times we spend together with our family during this time of the year, there's nothing wrong with it. But there should be some part included in it about the birth of Christ. There ought to be something said about the birth of Christ and Christ coming to save us. Hallelujah. You know, when Paul was on the road and the light came and appeared to him, Brother Branham said, no one else saw that light. Only Paul saw it. Can you imagine the others around him? Here Paul comes down off where he's riding, falls down to his knees, begins to speak. They don't see the light. They don't hear the voice. They must have thought, what in the world's wrong with Paul all of a sudden? But Paul saw the light. And, you know, nobody saw that light that came out of heaven that descended like a dove over Jesus Christ except John. But John was looking for it. John was looking for the light. He was looking for the sign. The Magi's, they're the ones that saw the light that came. It's because they were looking for it. And if we're looking for it tonight, the real Christmas present, the real Christmas gift, God's Christ, the Holy Spirit, if you're looking for it, Brother Ram said, you'll see it. Light can only shine in darkness. We're living in a very dark time. We're living in a very perverse time. And ye are the light of the world. It's God's light shining through each one of you. That's how Christ is shining to the people today. That's how Christ is presented to people today, is through you. So the real Christmas gift is God in you. That's why Christ came. He came to make atonement for our sins. But not just to make atonement for our sins and be left there. But that the life of the sacrifice could come back on the believer and live in the believer the same life that lived in Christ, living in you, the Holy Ghost. That was God's real Christmas gift. And he wrapped it inside of flesh. Flesh that, friends, listen, the flesh that Jesus Christ lived in was still in a fallen state. He grew old. When he was 30, they said he looked 50. He aged. His body could die. In the beginning, before the fall, man could not die. Man was eternal. Now, someone had to come to redeem the body so that we could live again like they did in the Garden of Eden, so we could live eternal again in bodies, not just a theophany, but in a flesh body. Adam was made flesh, and Adam's flesh was eternal until sin came in. And when sin entered, then according to the word of God, that day man had to die. But one came and died in this body in order to redeem your body. So that one day the molecular structure of your body could be changed in a moment, in twinkling of an eye, and you have a glorified body. But he had to make man eternal, be able to redeemed, because you know all that died before the coming of Christ went to a place that was called paradise. It wasn't heaven. It wasn't hell. It was a holding place until atonement was made. And when atonement was made, then Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and so forth, Rebecca and so on, they arose, many of the saints of old appeared in the streets of Jerusalem on the day of resurrection because they were set free. Jesus, his soul was sent to hell and he went into the lower regions. And the Bible says he led captivity captive. He set them free. Brother Branham illustrates it many times and says, there he came and Abraham would nudge Sarah and say, that's the one that I was always telling you about, Sarah. He come to set them free. That's why that the Bible speaks in Jude and said there was an argument that happened between Michael and Satan over the body of Moses. Because they didn't let Moses go to paradise. Moses was taken up just like Elijah. It's because Moses was going to come back again. Amen. Brother Bram said, get the real meaning of Christmas. It's Christ in you. God dwelling in the human heart. That's what the real Christmas means. But you see, today it's become so negative. The devil getting through there, and he's got reindeer and whiskered men flying in the air like an airplane, visiting the whole world, every home with a bundle of toys on his back, visiting every child. It's just a lie. It's just a right-out lie. But why? Because the devil did that so he could twist the minds of the people, get their minds off of what Christmas was really supposed to be about the birth of Christ. As long as we have children, Brother Branham said we're always going to have Christmas as far as giving of gifts and so on. And I know that there has been over the years people who have taught against that, so against it that you don't even give your children gifts at Christmas and all this. Brother Branham didn't teach that. The quotes I've read to you this morning is directly from what the prophet had to say. He said, children look forward to those things. You know, and I don't condemn you. Just make sure you keep Christ in it. Tell the children about Jesus Christ. Tell them about Christ coming, being born. And he had to be born a child. He had to be born a child. You know, the scripture we read for our text, when Herod called for the chief priests and scribes and so forth and asked them where would Christ be born, they said, according to the writings of the prophets, he's to be born in Bethlehem. So they knew. They knew that the Messiah was going to be born. And they knew where he was supposed to be born. They're without excuse. But see, he didn't come to their order. He didn't come to the priests. He went to the lowly. He went to those that were sick. He went to those that were looking for him. It just gets me to know that they knew where he was going to be born, that he was going to be born and where, and yet they missed him. And you think, it's so strange. You think about the prophecy of Jeremiah, about Rachel weeping for her children. Lamentations, meaning that there were going to be Hebrew children that were going to die while Herod searched for Christ. And God knew this. And he allowed it. I look at it this way. Those children gave their life that Christ would be protected. Those children sacrificed their lives for your benefit. You think about those mothers, what they went through, crying for their children that were slain. And God allowed it. But it's because he had a higher purpose. And you know, those children, you know, Brother Branham says, everyone that's born here on this earth is born with a purpose. All of God's children have a purpose to serve. All of Satan's children have a purpose to serve. The scripture tells us that God raised up Pharaoh to serve his purpose. Brother Branham says, your life cannot be taken until the purpose that God sent you here for has been served. And once your purpose has been served, then your time's up. And when you think about that, then you think about the purpose of those little children, Hebrews, that lost their lives while Herod searched for Christ. That was the purpose of their life, was to hide Christ. And Brother Branham said, you know, all babies, when they die, go to heaven. So these babies, they serve their purpose. Just like in the time of Moses, all those children that Pharaoh, looking for this deliverer, trying to slay the deliverer before he could grow up and set the Hebrew people free. And all these children that gave their lives so that Moses, the deliverer, could be hidden. And you know, how is it that God was able to hide Moses right under the devil's nose? The Bible tells us Satan don't even know his own children. He don't know who belongs to him and who belongs to God. That's why he won't leave you alone. Only God knows who is and who isn't. We don't know. So be careful how you treat other people. You know, you might look and see someone that you would look at and say, my goodness, the way they live and carry on and everything else, why? If there's ever going to be somebody lost, it'd be them. You don't know. God can take the most vilest sinner and wash him white as snow. I thank God for that. I thank God that that he isn't looking at my past to see how unrighteous I have been in my past. I'm glad that I was able to accept the sacrifice and come under the blood of Jesus Christ and be hidden in the blood of Christ. That's our Christmas gift. Atonement. Our Christmas gift. The real Christmas gift, Brother Branham said, is the Holy Ghost living in you. What a time of worship it ought to be. What a time of thanking God. And you know, as we go, we're approaching the new year. And as we go into this new year, we might be thinking about things we've faced over this past year. Things that we're going to face in the year to come. But friends, look, there's not anything that's going to come your way what God doesn't know about it. What God has to allow it. Remember in the scripture, Satan couldn't touch Job until God gave him permission. And even then he said, you can't take his life. You can do anything else, but you can't take his life. God allows things to come our way to prove us. He knows that you belong to him. But many times, friends, we've got to come to the realization of who we are. When this bride really recognizes just who she is, that's when the rapture is going to take place. And God allows things to come your way. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't play a violin of wailing music to feeling sad and sorry for yourself. Pick yourself up and go on. Well, look what happened to me. Look what come my way. Don't sit around and mope. Go forward. Friends, I'll tell you something. If I knew that I only had a certain amount of time left to live, not only would I still live it for Christ, but I wouldn't sit around feeling sorry for myself because I only had a certain amount of time to live. But I would make the most of whatever time I had left. I would be happy. I would be joyous. I wouldn't be trying to bring my family down. I wouldn't be trying to bring my wife down. Sometimes we go through things and it makes us sad. But you know what? You don't got to stay that way. You're a little creator. You can create an atmosphere around yourself. Like we said last Sunday, Brother Branham said, you never been around people that there's nothing really wrong with the individual, but you just can't stand to be around them? He said, it's because of the atmosphere they have around themselves. He said, then you take somebody else that they might not be anybody of any prestige, but you just love being around them. He said, it's because of the atmosphere that you create around them. Create an atmosphere around yourself where others would like to be around you. Don't crawl up in some corner somewhere. That's not going to do you any good. It ain't going to change anything. You know, God wants us to know that our life is in his hands. It's not in our hands. Your work is not in your hands. It's in God's hands. Many times you think your finances are in your hands. What you have is because God gives it to you. The work you have is because God gives it to you. It has nothing to do with you. Many times people think, well, you know, brother, we read this. Brother Bram said, you know, you get up and you get down from the anointing and then you begin to think, man, what a loser I am. He said, but you're not. And that's just the devil telling you that. Christ come to set you free from all that. Your destiny lays in his hands. Just like Mary and Joseph's destiny laid in the hands of God. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. All things. Even the things that you think are bad. It was not a good thing. You know, I don't think Joseph thought, boy, this is a real good thing. I've got to pay taxes. I can't wait to get back to Bethlehem to pay out some taxes. Nobody looks forward to paying taxes. But God allowed that to happen. This thing that maybe we would have looked at as being bad, God allowed it to happen in order to put Joseph where he needed to be. So even the bad things that seem to be bad to you are going to work out for your good. Because all things, good and bad, all things, understood and not understood, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, and Father, this little message that we've preached on Christmas, Lord, and Father, and about the real Christmas gift, Lord, I pray, Father, may we just hold it into our hearts, dear God. May it have been encouragement, dear God. Lord, maybe the little kiddies today, Lord, that were listening in would hear these things, Lord, and it would just stay in their minds. I know myself, Lord, I can remember things from the time I was just a little boy in church, things that were taught and how they were taught. And I remember how the Godhead was taught, Lord. And I remember these different things just from being a little child. So I know the little children pick up on things, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, may they hold these things dear to their heart about Christ being born to save them from their sins. Christ being born that they may live. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Bless your people today. Bless their fellowship, I pray, dear God. And we'd ever give you the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.